The Mitch Henderson Show is presented by The Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton. The AMB is providing new meal options during this time, including family-style options and more, and are available for both curbside pickup and delivery. Visit theanb.com for menus and information. You can also catch up with The Alchemist and Barrister on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Hello, everybody. I'm Derek Jones here with you for a special edition of The Mitch Henderson Show as we round out the 2019-20 basketball season, an unusual finish to the season. And Coach Henderson has been so gracious to give us some time today to recap how things finished out for the Tigers as it relates to, unfortunately, the ongoing crisis with the coronavirus. And also, we take a look at what's to come for the Tigers and much more here on The Mitch Henderson Show. I am honored to be joined by the head coach of Princeton Tigers men's basketball, Mitch Henderson. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Derek. How about you?
As well as could be expected during really one of the craziest times in our country's history. And certainly this has been such a bizarre and strange and somewhat scary period of time for this country. And certainly in your role as a basketball coach, you're also obviously a father as well. Take me through your broad view of things right now as it relates to just society trying to make it through this thing on a day-in, day-out basis.
I think that struggled, you know, probably like everyone else with in the very beginning, and then, you know, and have had probably some good days and not so good days of just trying to make sense of it all. My focus has been obviously, as you mentioned, with my own family, but also with the team. And, you know, one of the really great and special things about being a coach is the personal interaction you get to have with your team on basically a day-to-day basis, young kids and, you know, growing kids. And so not being around them and then seeing, you know, then having a little bit of like our own issues here at school, you know, the seniors not being able to have a senior spring and, you know, all the students going on, you know, having to do classes online, you know, having spring season sports canceled, but then sort of seeing the broader perspective and learning about others, you know, first responders, you know, the healthcare workers. You know, it's Derek, it's just, as you said, it's a very different kind of a time. And as a coach, just trying to brainstorm with other coaches here on our staff. And we've had, with Molly's leadership, we've had some really great calls and learning how to reach the student athletes, how to understand what's going on there and sort of roll with it. We're figuring this out.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique time, and certainly the challenges of the offseason, we will talk about that certainly as we go along here. And one thing I wanted to do, though, right now was kind of go back to the very early stages of all this. The news of the coronavirus has obviously been around for the past few months, but really, as things started to pick up in March, you started to hear more and more about it. And then, of course, the news of the cancellation of the Ivy League tournament. Can you take me through that day and the emotions that you were feeling? How did you find out about it as well?
Well, I mean, in hindsight, I think that that 24 hours was about, it felt very up and down for us, because we were the first athletic sort of sporting event to be canceled in the college area. You know, it was, you know, there were some small games here and there being moved around, but it was, I think, a very prescient decision by the Ivy League presidents at the time. I think myself and others, it was difficult to understand, you know, what was going on, because, you know, that decision, I believe, was made on a Tuesday morning. The presidents had been talking throughout the course of the weekend, and then by Wednesday afternoon, we were meeting, all athletics staff was meeting with our president, you know, sort of sitting three chairs away from all of each other and learning from our you know, from President Eisgruber's perspective, what the decision was, which actually, again, like, was really forward thinking. And, you know, thank goodness for his leadership and the leadership of Molly and her staff. And, you know, and then by that afternoon, Derek, it was tournaments, Big Ten tournament, other tournaments were canceled. And then I believe it was within 24 hours from there that the NCAA tournament was canceled. And then, I'm going further than 24 hours than your question, but it was it felt very quickly a complete adjustment on how to think about this thing going forward. Started, you're just thinking about the guys, how they were getting home, how are the students getting home, because students were asked to pack up and go home very, very soon after that. So, gosh, that seems like a few months ago now. It wasn't that long ago, but it feels like a long time ago.
Oh, no doubt about it, considering the scope of things, for sure. And, you know, one of the unique things about Princeton University is the fact that it's kind of a melting pot of all of these different states and countries and students coming in from all over the world to really learn at one of the top institutions, if not the top, in the country. That had to be a jarring experience for a lot of players on your team who, you know, you're not necessarily prepared to go back home. It's not like Princeton is a commuter-heavy school. I mean, that's a major commitment. How about the challenge of the players trying to just turn around real quick and then get acclimated from, hey, I have an Ivy League tournament to think about, and now just hours later you have to think about just going home?
This is what you're touching on is actually the part of this that's been, I think, the most difficult for everyone, all athletes, to wrap their heads around. First, you know, you've got sports which are not going on anywhere. You know, so we all, I mean, one way you're relating to everybody's plight. You know, of course, the Olympics are canceled, NBA, Major League Baseball, among other sporting events canceled. But you mentioned the players, and I really can just kind of talk specifically about the guys on our team. But, you know, I think there's a lot of rest that's happening, and sometimes there's good rest, and we all have, I think, experienced, you know, it's easy to sit around all day, right? But what we do know here is that it's also good to be moving, and how do you move, and that makes you feel better. So I really think we, you know, maybe in the beginning it was like, okay, how are we going to train? Because we're just sort of like always on the go here, always ready to be pushing ourselves and bettering ourselves. But this has, I think, forced all of us to just look a little bit more at perspective, balance, routines. We've really been focused on what's a healthy routine look and feel like, mindfulness and stillness. I would assume some of our listeners, Derek, and, you know, I mean, maybe you and I can maybe relate to this. I don't have a lot of stillness in my house with three kids under seven. But we've, you know, like, rolling with the punches too, just going with it. Like, for our house in particular, and I think this is true for my guys, is like, you know, I mean, we've been doing, I haven't been on this many Zoom calls ever, you know, so doing it all day is just, you know, how much time are they spending in front of the computer? What are ways in which we can sort of lighten the load for people, and been mindful of how often our guys are tied up with commitments on their computers and in front of screens. So just trying to encourage them that we're here for them, and we understand that some days are better than others, but that, you know, we've got guys, Derek, you mentioned, that are from all over the country. We've got guys in all the way from California to England, right? So You've got guys getting up at 7 a.m. to do their first online class, and you've got guys starting their first on, you know, in Tucson, his first online class could potentially start at 3 p.m. You know, and also, how are they, you know, you got guys that are in a small apartment, with no siblings, or, you know, and, or maybe potentially, you know, we have almost no guys. Basketball is a really low barrier to entry kind of a sport, but basketball hoops are boarded up around the country and there's no places to go play. So we're really talking about a massive reduction here in what kind of makes a lot of us being athletes, basketball players, happy, right? So you're just, I don't know, my sense of this has really, I've been really focused on just touching base as much as I can and with our guys individually and staying with that.
How about the senior class? I mean, this is such a bizarre way for things to come to an end for them. But having said that, Richmond Oririgouzo, Jose Morales, and Will Gladson certainly leaving a significant impact on the program.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation with you know, my staff and also with some of the current juniors, you know, and sophomores, like, we really rely heavily on the returners, especially the returning seniors to lead us. And I was thinking of those three guys you just mentioned the other day, because we were able to sit down with them a year ago now, and what a difference a year makes. But and those guys, right, a year ago, Derek, they just took what they took the whole thing, and they grabbed it, and they were pushing us forward from the very beginning all the way through until, you know, we, you know, a few weeks ago when we had our season canceled. But the thing that we released a video, I don't know if you or some of our listeners were able to watch it on a Hard Cuts, and some of the guys on the team were able to speak about the seniors.
Yes,
and,
very good.
It was the example, starting with Richmond, it was the example by which they led. There was never a moment in anybody's mind where Richmond wasn't willing to do the smallest and littlest of things himself. He lived it, right? He walked the walk. Will Gladson, not being able to participate in anything that we were doing ever, was one of the most engaged off the court leaders I've ever had. You know, Will really has the mindset of a coach. And then Jose, of course, I've always said, you know, his heart is as big as Jadwin Jim, and we really played off and lived off of his moxie. So it's, you know, we were going up to Cambridge with a really terrific group of guys led by those three seniors. And, you know, we're going to find a way, Derek, here to honor them when that time comes. I don't know. But, you know, right now we're just trying to stay in touch with everybody, make sure everybody's doing okay and keeping a sane mind there at home.
Before we get back to more with Coach Henderson, a reminder, this is the Mitch Henderson Show presented by The Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton. The AMB is providing new meal options during this time, including family-style options and more, and are available for both curbside pickup and delivery. Visit theamb.com for menus and information. What has this adjustment been like for you and the coaching staff? Because with all of the stay-in place orders that are around from state to state, you know, with high schools really being inactive right now, recruiting is very difficult, I'd imagine, and just being able to kind of communicate on a day-to-day basis the way that you're normally accustomed to, how big of an adjustment has it been from the coaching staff perspective?
It's a really interesting question, and I'll answer each as quickly as I can. But first, you know, I was adjusting right away to homeschooling. My wife and I both, you know, are working, and we're juggling some responsibilities, of course, that we have, but also, like, we're online, we're trying to teach our kids. Half of the kids, my kids happen to go to a dual language immersion school there. So I speak no Spanish, but just a little bit more than maybe my wife. So trying to learn how to teach math and Spanish. So that was fun challenge. And then balancing what a regular day looks like. And then, of course, you know, we've got family and friends family that live close by. So just trying to manage, of course, the inner circle that we all have. Second, with recruiting, you know, it's really, we've now seen the dead period, which means no on-campus visits, no off-campus visits for coaches, no recruiting, and you know, the eye test. This right now would be a major evaluation part of our, you know, I'm basically on the road almost the whole month of April evaluating kids in person and live, and so are all other coaches. So that's been taken away from what we call the 2021 class. So we're going in a whole new direction here. So, you know, again, conversations with kids on Zoom, trying to connect with families and kids and give them the best possible guidance we can give them. And then diving into your own team, ways in which to improve. There's been a lot of virtual webinars in the college basketball world, which have been useful. And one of the coaches on our staff here at Princeton called it the investment season. Mm-hmm. So we're just sort of trying to invest in some things that where we don't normally get the time. So for me, it's been, you know, looking at our processes here in terms of how we teach and how the guys learn. And I've come back, Derek, to the relationship piece with the guys in the program and then in the recruiting piece. So looking at better ways to express what Princeton basketball means to us, our alums, and then expressing that to the current team and recruits. So I imagine this is something similar that a lot of people are going through, but ours is very much of a connecting world. We're not getting that opportunity because teaching is, it's a hands-on environment, right? You're working together. Absolutely. You're making eye contact. You're patting somebody on the back. You're giving them some positive feedback. These are now taken away. So trying to find different ways to do that.
How do you think the whole big picture, and obviously we don't know the finality of all of this and how this is going to wrap up or at least move forward in a significant way, but have you thought much about how this could potentially impact next season?
I don't know. I think there seems to be, and you probably know as well as I do, there's a lot that changes in a week or two, right?
Yep.
You know, so I'm just following the direction of our leadership here at the university. I think that they've had to deal with a lot of very particular challenges with moving to online classes, you know, staying in close contact with Carla, our women's coach, Molly, on best practices. But, I you know, we're right now, Derek, we're looking at, are we going to have summer camps? You know, that's been a huge part of the lifeblood of our recruiting cycle. Our staff development is to be able to not only have host camps, but be able to go out and evaluate in camps. The NCAA, as you're aware, moved to a different calendar last year. So we had really active high school camps in June and then camps where we would evaluate next in July. So you're looking at an entire, you know, thousands of kids that will not be evaluated and are going to have to make potential decisions based on a totally different, but maybe with less information. You're also seeing right now the transfer portal just explode.
Yes.
In a new, and I don't know, maybe not such a good way, but it may be an inevitable way based on the way things are going. So everybody's at home, Derek, and college coaches don't do that very well, and no one does, but you know, you're sort of wheeling and dealing now that you're home. And I don't know. I'm going back to what I mentioned just a little bit before. Relationship piece has been our whole thing here, and we're trying to really dive deep into that. So I think when sports do resume, those that have been trying to really connect with each other as often as possible are maybe going to be better for it.
Coach, I wanted to circle back to something you just mentioned. You hit on the transfer thing, and that's been a big point of conversation amongst the Ivy League because of the number of players. ESPN actually released an article a few weeks back ranking the top players who were in the transfer portal, and I believe four or five of the top 10 were Ivy League guys. When you see that type of situation kind of bear out, what do you think about the transfer situation, and is that a positive for the league, or is it kind of one of those to-be-determined things?
Well, first, it's, again, I think it's the way you look at it. You know, there's a couple things to mention here and to note. So first is there's an awful lot of talent in our league. So it's no surprise to the coaches. And so it is a positive overall reflection of the kind of players, coaches, and the teaching that goes on within the league. Secondly, we are, you know, very much who we are here in the league. And sometimes people like to say, Derek, that like, well, the Ivy League's like this. Well, you know, what's mentioned is the transfers. Well, how about the, you know, the 95% of student athletes and guys in the league that are not transferring, that are benefiting from relationships, culture within a program. And there's an awful lot of positives. And I think, you know, I've never liked the expression "it is what it is," but you know, I think that the student athletes that you're seeing that are leaving the league, they're, you know, that's what they're doing, and it's not an easy. It's not really my place to weigh in on that. Where I can weigh in is my goal, and the goal every year I think from all the other head coaches in the league is to provide a really solid first-class, world-class experience for the current student-athletes so that hopefully they play and have a wonderful four-year experience at Princeton. You know, that's the goal. I know where your mind is and probably where others' minds are too, but, I'm really hopeful that we have an environment where the guys are in a really happy place. That said, I see the market going to where it's going, and we're paying attention to it just like everybody else.
Taking a look forward as best we can, Coach, to next season, obviously you'll have guys like Ryan Schwieger back as a senior, Jerome DeRozier as well. What can you tell us about the returning team next season and maybe some of the things that you learned from last season as you head into 2021 here?
Well, it's a good segue, right, to next year's team. You mentioned Ryan and Jerome, but also in that same class, Lodge Barnes, Charlie Bagan. You know, I always felt that the returning senior class, the makeup of that group, the way they play off of each other, each class that you bring in that comes in grows. And they have the benefit of watching groups in front of them lead. And seniors are really a big deal in the Ivy League. They're a big deal in college basketball everywhere. So in that group, you've got a highly competitive group. You know, obviously you mentioned a couple guys that have played a lot of minutes, but I have high expectations for them. And they've got to lead us in a lot of different ways. And look, I think you've got to be optimistic here that at some point we're going to get back on the court together. So we're talking to these guys, not the way we normally would, but the returning seniors, challenging them to continue to grow. So first, what we know about the team coming back is it's a completely different look and feel than what we had a year ago. So a year ago at this point, we had Richmond as a returning starter, and Jalen had played pretty much half the year as a returning starter. So you're welcoming back, you know, four returning starters with a significant amount of experience coming off the bench. And, you know, Jerome, Drew Freiberg at times, Ryan Langborg has come off the bench, obviously Elijah Barnes. So, it's going to be a deep team, Derek, a very fun team to coach with, you know, some key pieces that no one's seen a whole lot of yet and some incoming players, again, that no one's really seen that I think are going to really help us with the loss of Richmond. Sort of the center position.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about, before we wrap things up here, a couple of guys in particular, Ethan Wright and Drew Freiberg. They really seem to take a leap from their freshman year here throughout their sophomore campaign. How about those two as you get them ready for next season?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, the beauty of the spring is you get a chance to sit down with each guy on the team and say, okay, here, what'd you think? What's the debrief of the previous season? And then what are your goals? And then match those goals up with, you know, my goals for that person. And then also going forward. And, you know, you just mentioned two players that have single-handedly won some games for us, also have played significant amount of minutes. And one of the hallmarks of our program is guys' improvement over the summer. So I would hope that they both come back in the fall much improved. And a lot of that's just getting a little longer in the tooth, right? Like, having just the experience of having played together and with their teammates on the floor more often. I mean, higher expectations are where I come in at this, Derek. So are they going to demand that other guys keep their body in front of their men? Are they going to do that themselves? Where are they picking up for where Richmond left off? How are they making sure that every possession is competitive? These are the things that I think when you've got a junior and senior class that are taking care of the littlest of details, that you have a good team. And I'm going to look very closely at the two you just mentioned, as well as, the other guys we've talked about earlier, Jerome, Ryan, Jalen, these the guys that have done it for us.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule today. As you hit on, you know, you're pretty busy right now with the juggling a lot of different things between parenting, obviously, and then, of course, coaching and trying to lead this basketball team into the future. So thank you so much for joining me here today.
I'm so thankful to be able to talk through it. And, you know, of course, for anybody that's listening, Princeton basketball fans, we're thinking of all of our fans and hoping everybody stays healthy. I'm sure, just like everyone else, as I'm talking to you, like my 7-year-old son comes walking up to me, and I've got my finger on my lips, like, shh, you know, don't talk. You know, it's a wonderful time in many ways to be around my own family, but of course, thinking about the broader Princeton basketball family all the time. So, wishing you well and yours and all your family members too, Derek. Thanks for giving us some time today.
A big thanks once again to the head coach of Princeton Tigers basketball, Mitch Henderson, for joining us here today as a part of the Mitch Henderson Show, presented by the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton. The AMB is providing new meal options during this time, including family-style options and more, and are available for curbside pickup and delivery. Visit theamb.com for menus and information. For Mitch Henderson, I'm Derek Jones saying so long, be safe, and be healthy, everybody.